Hello all sentient beings and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this fanciful episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review Synergy, a Hasbro Creators Showcase. We take a sneak peek at IDW's Ghosts of Cybertron comics series, and Wave 3 of the Transformers trading card game has been confirmed. Today is Friday, April 12th, 2019, and this is episode 124 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's getting special releases on VHS and vinyl. I'm your host Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, I'm holding out for the 8-track.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how you doing? I don't have anything funny to say. Let's talk Transformers.
Why should this week be any different?
Aww. That's it. I'm out of here.
All right. So as always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, you beautiful people out there who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. We really appreciate your continued support. Thank you so much. If you would like to join those ranks, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And that's how you can join up on your service of your preferred service, PayPal or Patreon. You get little perks, getting to listen to the show live every week as we record it. You get some access to early and special recordings that are just for you. You get some merchandise we send out periodically. We still have the Tallulah 1 number 1 comic that everyone at the $5 and above level gets a copy until we run out. And a little thing called Transmissions Declassified, our monthly Donatrion only show that has not been monthly for a few months, but is coming back real soon as we get our act together. So that's it.
When you have lots you of have plans to get your act together?
I'm trying.
I don't. I have no plans on getting my act together. My act is exactly where I want.
You're not selling your act, the
Your act is stale and old.
We'll try. We do put out the show every week, you know. We put out a lot of content. We put out lots of stuff for conventions. We've kept you satisfied in the time that we've gotten off track with Declassified. At least I hope you're satisfied out there. Leave us feedback if you're not satisfied, and we'll.
If you're not satisfied, email Daryl at transcriptionspodcast.com.
Exactly.
And he will be flogged.
Flogged? I don't want to be flogged.
Well, get your act together.
Damn it.
All right. If you are not interested in becoming a Donatrion, that's okay. But if you still want to help out the show and buy some cool merchandise, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Get some Transmissions-themed merchandise there. And get anything from TeePublic through our link, and that helps out the show. So lots of ways to help out the show, even if you're not willing to make a long-term financial commitment. All right, enough about us. Let's talk about Transformers comics and media and start off with some comics news. This is not really technically a comic, but it is some like kids' storybooks. So this is coming from Fidel Publishing. And they make lots of brands of kids' books. And they are coming out with something called Transformers Stuck on Stories. And it's a game with suction cup toys and these storybooks. So it has color and activity books. And it's activity book, coloring book, a board game for kids, and 10 suction cups. That are modeled after the heads of Optimus Prime, Megatron, Soundwave, Windblade, Hot Rod, Shockwave, Starscream, Bumblebee, Ratchet, and Hound. And these are all using the Evergreen design, so the most recent kind of G1-ish redesign that is being used as a reference point for all future Transformers merchandise going forward. They look pretty cool. It's something interesting. you know, if you have young kids, they might be interested in playing with this. Get them, you know, get them started on it.
Having a young kid, I think he would absolutely love this. I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for it.
All right. And the link in the show notes will has pictures so you can see what it actually looks like. These are in-hand pictures. So I guess these were already found by one of the by on Twitter by Jalaguy. He's a well-known Transformers fan on TFW, Callum Tozer. And he found the these at a store. So they're out there. All right. Next, we've got more preview images for the upcoming Transformers Ghostbusters crossover, Ghosts of Cybertron. So we've got some art, more artwork that really shows how the artists are rendering Cybertron and the Decepticons and Autobots on Cybertron. These images were put out on, I guess it was on Twitter, by artist Dan Schoening. And then it was mirrored here at TFW 2005. But what I also wanted to mention was that these are all images that are taken from the Ashcan preview that was given out at WonderCon last week. And you can actually see, you can actually download a digital copy of that Ashcan preview from directly from IDW. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. So it's a, you can get a PDF. It's actually the first four pages of issue one of the crossover comic. So in that preview, you actually see several scenes set on Cybertron and several bots rendered in the comic. So, you know, it tells a little bit of the backstory. It talks about how the Autobots and Decepticons war went on. You've got Sunstorm, one of the Sunstorm, the Seeker. You've got Laserbeak in his Cybertronian mode. You've got Tetrajets. You've got Bumblebee in his Cybertronian mode. You've got Trailbreaker in a Cybertronian mode, briefly. I see Grapple. I see Brawn. I see Windcharger. Dan Schoening, the artist, he's got some deep cuts here. I see the Ark leaving Cybertron and Reflector firing on it, you know, from the ground as it escapes. And then we see Gozer as a robot, which is interesting, and her robotic terror dogs. And then Soundwave, Shockwave, and Starscream, and Megatron, all nicely rendered. So this is some, we've seen some of this art before, but it's nice to see all this in the first four pages. So this makes me more excited for the crossover. Check out that artwork.
Oh yeah, I was just looking through the Ashcan, and the characterization is really on point from these four pages. Like, just looking at, I mean, basically we get vocals from Megatron, Soundwave, Shockwave, and Starscream. And it seems like they have a good handle on the Transformers, at least the 80s cartoon versions mm-hmm. of them.
Yeah, this this makes me really excited for the crossover. I think this is going to be well done. And this team seems to, even they're the Ghostbusters team. I actually haven't read any of the Ghostbusters comics that IDW puts out, but they clearly have a handle on the Transformers characters. So that's nice to see that going in. So yeah, looking forward to it. All right, that's all the comics news. So let's move on to our comic review. All right, so this week we are doing a special issue here. So this is this issue was put out for, I guess it was International Women's Month last month in March. And this book is called Synergy, a Hasbro Creators Showcase, Saluting Creative Women and the Lasting Impact They Make on the Comics of Hasbro. This is a kind of an anthology book. There are five short stories in here, all by female creators. So the first one is an RC Sword of Day that's written by Perry Mercer, drawn by Umi Miao, colored by Elena Unger. The second one is Ghost, written and drawn by Emma Vieselli, colored by Rhonda Pattison. The third one is Recharge, written, drawn, and colored by Sarah Winifred Cyril. Fourth one is The Stage, written by Katie Cook, drawn by Agnes Garboska, and colored by Heather Breckel. The last one is Of Flying and Falling, written by Margaret Scott, drawn by Sarah Peter Drew O'Shea, colored by Joanna LaFuente. And the cover art was also by Sarah Peter Drew O'Shea, and the letters and production design were all done by Krista Meissner, and the edits were done by Megan Brown. So this is all female book. Everything was done by women here, so it's really a celebration of women and their particularly their contribution to Hasbro Comics. So I thought it was each of these five stories brought something interesting. So the first three are kind of in character stories, like they're just like slices of life for particular characters in each of these continuities, and then the last two stories are creator kind of autobiographical sketches, which I thought was interesting. So the first one and the first and the last one are Transformers focused. The rest are from G.I. Joe, Gem, and My Little Pony. So a wide range of Hasbro stuff. But of course, Transformers gets two out of the five. So Transformers represent. The Transformers story, the first one in RC sort of day is focused on RC, and it looks like it's set long after the end of the IDW continuity, or you have to make some assumptions, but it looks like it's new Cybertron, where at the end of the series, the Cybertron from the other dimension was repopulated, so RC has resettled back on New Cybertron. It's still peaceful. All the bots are, the population is really booming. Everyone's getting along. And she's trying to readjust to her new life here. So, she's not a warrior anymore because there's no more wars to fight. But she's still, she's still trying to keep her violent tendencies down. But she's doing pretty good. One thing I did notice... there's no mention of her girlfriend Aileron, so I hope they're still together. But she does have a nice Robo Kitty at the end, keeping her company at home. So that's cool.
Well, wasn't Aileron exploring space and stuff?
Yeah, that's so true.
She could have just been out.
The art is very interesting. It's very, I would say, it's very detailed. It's not. It's a different style that we hadn't seen from the regular artists, so I liked it very much. Umi Miao, the artist, I don't think I've seen her in other IDW work, so I think she based on this I would give her some more Transformers books to work on. So this was very nicely done. I especially like the Decepticon. I guess the Decepticon bureaucrat who's denying her her loan. He reminds me very much of Stealth Bomber Megatron, and that was a very nice design there. So that was a nice little story, nice little slice of life for RC, showing her adjusting to peacetime life. The next story, I'm gonna run through these pretty quick because they're interesting stories, but we're a Transformers show, so not too interesting for us, I guess. But the second one, Ghost, is all about the new female Snake Eyes. I think her name is Dawn Moreno. I had to look up her backstory because she's apparently the new Snake Eyes, but she carries the ghost of the original Snake Eyes in her head. And Cobra was experimenting on her and they tried to brainwash her, and somehow their brainwashing machine had a copy of Snake Eyes' mind there and it got imprinted on her, and that's how she got Snake Eyes into her mind. I didn't go too deep into the backstory because, I'm not really focused on G.I. Joe, but this story is a nice little talking about her dealing with Snake Eyes being in her mind and all his emotions and everything, and she has to deal with that. So that was a nice little character study there. The next story is Recharge, and this is a Gem in the Hologram story, and this is about Kimber, which is Gem or Jerrica's sister. If you're familiar with Gem, Jerrica is the main character, and she like turns into Gem. By the way, Synergy, the title of the book Synergy, that's because of the magic computer that Gem has that does all the hologram stuff that turns her into Gem. That computer is named Synergy. So that's where you get the title of the book. But this little story here is not about Gem. It's about her sister and her girlfriend, Stormer, who is actually a member of the Misfits, their rival band. So I believe the comics go into how like Kimber and Stormer hooked up and started dating and everything. So that's something they introduced in the comics, the Gem comics reboots from the last few years. So this story is talking about how like there's a little bit of social media nastiness where people are kind of fat shaming Stormer. And then how she's dealing with it and how Kimber is mad because, you know, they're being mean to her girlfriend. So it's, another nice little, character focused story, short story. And then the next story is The Stage, which is, I guess this is Katie Cook, the writer, and how it's a personal story for her about how she got she was a big fan of My Little Pony when she was a kid, and then when she grew up, she got to write on the My Little Pony series for several years. So this is just her really reminiscing about her time with My Little Pony and how excited she was that she got to play with the My Little Pony toys. And one thing I thought was funny was that at the end, she talks about how her kids really like My Little Pony too. And then while she's watching it with her kids, she's telling them like, yeah, I wrote for that character. I created that character. There's me as a pony. And their kids are like, we don't care, Mom. We just like the show. Stop talking. Let us watch the show. So I like how, how much her love for My Little Pony and her appreciation for getting to contribute to the franchise was very nice here. And then the last story, which I really enjoyed, was Margaret Scott's story. And it's her personal story of how she fell in love with Transformers. And now we see how Beast Wars was her G1. She was a kid during Beast Wars. And Air Razor in particular was a character that she was focused on, particularly because she could fly. And she was, just a cool character. And, her Margaret talking about how in traditional media for kids, a lot of times the female characters are portrayed as, a little bit like less than and have to prove that they are just as good as the boys, quote unquote, and how that left an impression on Margaret and how, Air Razor was different because she didn't need to prove anything. She just was there and was already badass. So that always left a good impression on her. And I also liked how she talked a little bit. And I think she actually, she mentioned this when we interviewed her, that when she was a kid, she kind of didn't get Beast Wars toys. So like she didn't buy Beast Wars toys for herself because since the way the toy store aisles were gender separated, she felt a little self-conscious trying to go and get toys from the boys' toys aisle, and that kind of put her off. So it was nice to see that when she grew up, then she got to work on Transformers and she got to basically reincarnate her love for Air Razor and imprint that on Windblade. And that's what she focused on making Windblade such a cool character. And how that also reverberated back to the fans and she met other fans, and how young girls came up to her and said Windblade is her favorite, was their favorite Transformer, and she got to inspire the next generation of Transformers fans. Yeah, so that story in particular stuck with me throughout this book here. So those are all the stories in the anthology, and I thought it was a nice, inspiring piece here. So you know, this is not a really deep continuity story or anything. It's just, you know, five little short vignettes. And, you know, I think it's a fun little book here. I'll throw it back to you guys. So, Daryl, what was your impressions with this book?
Oh, well, I thought all the stories were pretty fun. The art was great. They all really hit home the messages that they were trying to put forth. The gem one, when they dropped the story beat about the fat shaming, I was like, oh damn, they're going there. Okay. And then it just kind of ended on the, I forget her name, Stormer.
Yeah. Yeah.
She wanted to just kind of sit by herself and just, you know, be in the rain. I was like, that's kind of sad, but, she seemed content with doing what she was doing. The My Little Pony one was really nice. I actually chuckled when she put a picture of herself as a kid
in the actual photo.
So I thought that was very cute because, you know, us as parents, we all have pictures of our kids playing with the toys and they've all kind of fallen asleep. And I, for one, have a picture of my daughter who fell asleep playing hide and go seek in a pile of stuffed animals. And it's my version of the E.T. picture, you know, where they just have all the stuffed animals and then the head there. So. And the Transformers ones, I guess we've also got the, what's the other one here?
The RC one or the Marigold one?
No, the G.I. Joe one.
Oh, the G.I. Joe one. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I was just kind of, cause I knew that they had changed over Snake Eyes to being a woman and I have no problem with it. I think it's fine. But I have no knowledge of it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So this basically built that character for me and just kind of told me what they're all about. And this was a good story. It gave me a lot of background on the character. So, you know, I appreciate that. I'm not a big G.I. Joe fan at all. So it's not going to make me read the book. It definitely gave me some background on who this character is and where Snake Eyes, the original Snake Eyes went. If anyone ever asks me, like, hey, did they change Snake Eyes to a woman? I'll be like, yeah, they did. And this is how. Yeah. As far as the Transformers ones go, so RC, I thought was a decent story. I thought it was fun. How you, Charles, said that the bureaucrat was a Megatron alike. I honestly thought it was a Megatron kind of sitting there being all, you know, managerial.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the art in this one was great. It really did in some of the scenes where you're just trying to convey the emotion that RC is going through, the frustration that she was character, this important fixture in the war before, and now she's nothing. She's just, you know, it's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating. Yeah, I thought some of the art was really great, and to have her, you know, end her day at the, you know, with a cat kind of thing is just kind of fun. It's cute. The Margaret Scott one, the Windblade one, was very, again, it's a interperspective one. And I thought it was a really good one. It did play into a lot of the stuff we had known about her before, but not everyone knew that, which is fine. And again, the art was great. And I think it definitely pushed some more kind of images in your head. All of us here on the show, we're dudes. We don't we like to think that we can understand things from the woman's perspective. We can't. So this is just a small glimpse into their. I'm never going to pretend I understand. I'm not gonna try to. I'm just going to, you know, I have a wife, I have a daughter, and that's, you know, that's the long and short of it there. I'm just going to be there and help when I can, but I'm never ever going to try and say, you know, I get it and let me fix it. But this is a nice look into their world because it is different. You know, things tend to be easier sometimes for us and we forget about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I especially liked it in Margaret's story how it starts off with her and her sister playing, and it's like, you know, just like kids do when they're playing with their toys, and they're like, I do this, and they're like, no, fair, you can't do that, and then, you know, you don't have guns in beast mode. Like, oh, well, I transform, and then I have my guns are out, and it's like, you know, it's very relatable. I mean, it takes the particular perspective that they have, and then they make it very relatable, you know, in the course of the story. Mm-hmm. And I think it was really well done. And yeah, Sarah Peter Duochet's art is, of course, awesome. So it's cool to see. I wonder if Margaret gave Sarah like photos of her as a kid as reference for her to draw. Jeremy, what did you think?
I really liked it too. The RC one, when I first saw it, I saw hints of like Keizama and her RC stuff, and then I was surprised to see that it was someone else. And you know, I think in the chat in our Discord, Sergio is saying that Umi is a fan artist turned pro, and she has some stuff coming up. So that's awesome. You know, following in the tradition of, you know, many of the artists on the previous run came from, you know, the fan community. So nice to see that's continuing to happen. I think Kay came mm-hmm. from the fan, like she was a fan artist. So it's nice, and I really like, you know, it's hard to tell a story in like 3 pages, very condensed, but so much on this first page is told just with no words. Like you see RC grabbing for her sword, and it looks like the Decepticon has a gun, and it turns out the gun is a stamper, and it's just like she's fighting her demons right there, and it's just mundane, you know, stuff that she's having to go through. And it's a very nice, concise little story, and kind of seeing, like you said, she had this big role, but now there's peacetime, and you know, it's like she's still trying to find her place in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that. The G.I. Joe one, much like Daryl, I knew that they had made the switch with Snake Eyes, but I hadn't actually read any of it. It's a nice kind of story, giving you the background and showing that, you know, I like the thing where she's like saying that she knows about his love for Scarlet and for Timber, you know, his wolf. You know, it's nice, you know, kind of continuity there between, you know, the old Snake Eyes and the new.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the gem story was nice, and it was a surprise for me when I when they got into, you know, what the harassment was about and stuff. And I can't, you know, claim to really understand, you know, anything about like what these characters are going through, but you know, hopefully this book helps someone that is going through issues like that, you know, and you know, helps them to be strong and figure out exactly, you know, what they want to do in situations like that. Because
mm-hmm.
it seems like Stormer is not gonna, you know, she's like, you don't have to fight my battles for me. And she just does what she wants, and that is to sit out there and enjoy, you know, a cup of coffee or tea or whatever. And that's what she wants to do. And then I thought the last two were really cute. I like that they had the picture of the, I guess it's Katie Cook as a child. It just, the whole part where the kids are just totally unimpressed with what their mom has done. It's so true to any of us that have kids. We spend all these years trying to impress our kids, and it, you know, they're just like, yeah, can we please go to McDonald's? But it's so cute. And, you know, I can only hope that, you know, I'm able to do something that my kids are also into. I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, working on Transformers or anything, but, you know, even with the podcasting, I'm planning on trying to at least do that so I can like have recordings of my kid as he grows up. And I think the Marigold one was also my favorite, just as a Beast Wars fan And then, you know, I'm like, oh, wait, is this a Beast Wars story? And then we see, oh, no, it's her telling, you know, her biographical story, how she got into Transformers. And, you know, just kind of, and actually, this is a longer than three page. So she gets a lot of time here. And then just the convention scene that I'm sure we've all seen being at conventions and, you know, just like from a distance, I've seen, you know, female fans coming up to these creators and just, you know, you can see what their work means to these kids and these women that come up to them. And, you know, like you said, Daryl, we, you know, as men, we, you know, we can't really understand there or understand what they're going through. But I really appreciate the fact that they are in these positions now. And, you know, the creators are able to see what their work means to people that were like them, you know, years ago, you know, as either just, you know, fan creators trying to make their way or kids able to see, you know, something of themselves in these characters. I think that's awesome. So I think this is a really nice book, and, you know, I'm glad IDW put it out.
Cool. Yeah. It looks like the last two biographical stories got more pages. They got like, they both got like, looks like 6 or 7 pages. But yeah, so in addition, one last thing, that in addition to the 5 stories, there are several pinup. I think they're like from previous covers or other things from showcasing other female artists from various IDW stories. So, you know, from Transformers, G.I. Joe, My Little Pony, and Gem. So, you know, you can, in particular, Priscilla Tramontano is there. Joanna LaFuente is there. Yeah, Sarah Stone. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah. So this was, I hope, you know, everyone, K-Zom is there too. So yeah, I hope everyone gets a chance to check out this book. If you missed it, you can probably order it online or talk to your comic shop and get one. All right. Well, that is our comic review. So let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, in media news this week, we're going to start off with the mobile game stuff and Forge to Fight, to be exact, and they are celebrating their second anniversary with a special update and event. And joining the Transformers Forum to Fight is G1 Thundercracker. So if you are still playing Forge to Fight, take a look for Thundercracker. He's in the game now.
I think it is very impressive that they are keeping this up and, you know, constantly updating it. So
it must be doing well. Must be making some money.
Congratulations to them.
Is the other one still going?
Earth Wars. Yeah. Earth Wars is still going. Yeah.
They are?
Cool.
I believe so.
Moving on to Cyberverse, we've got some character designs from Sophia Sycamore. So take a look at her gallery and take a look at the character designs there in TCG News.
What can I? I just wanted to mention real quick. In particular, she has a gallery. One of the Seekers. She has a model for Dirge as a conehead. So I don't know if that's going to make
Dirge
it.
Dirge was a conehead.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is last season all the Seekers were not Coneheads. Like they had a Red Seeker they had a Red Seeker they called Thrust last season, but he was not a Conehead. So I wonder if they're going to have Coneheads in the second season.
Cool.
And
that's a good.
I love the Grimlock, like the different expressions, and then even like how the mouth should look saying certain sounds.
Mm-hmm. And Deadlock, all his expressions gets. So I wonder if Deadlock or maybe he'll be Drift in the net will be shown.
Well, we've seen toys for him.
We'll probably get a flashback. Okay. I mean, you know, we've seen Deadlock, but you know, we might get a flashback as to why.
Mm-hmm.
in TCG news, Wizards of the Coast has confirmed that the trading card game is getting a wave 3. And there are even some event promos as well, so take a look for those if you are big into the game. On to Bumblebee movie news. We are not done with this yet, I guess. Bumblebee, they have some content or some concept art for appliance bots. So these were some things that were supposed to be in the movie, got cut at the last minute.
Well, you can actually see deleted scene with these in
That's
action.
Right. Yes. It is on YouTube, so you don't have to buy the movie to get it, but you can see it on YouTube. So take a look at those. It was just kind of just cut right at the last minute, I guess.
Well, it didn't fit the tone of the movie.
No, it definitely didn't. And Transformers, we have some stuff from Industrial Light and Magic about the movie as well. They developed an epic set piece. So this is...
It's art from that Cybertron opening.
Oh, that title is terrible. All right. It's just art from the opening piece. There you go. The Japanese Bumblebee anime clip, part 2. So if you want to see that as well, there's another link for that. We have an interview with Jason Drucker. I don't know who he is. Oh, is he the brother? He's the little brother.
He was the brother.
Okay.
Yeah, it was weird reading this interview because he's 13, so he's a year older than my middle son. So literally, I'm old enough to be his father. But he talks about how like he grew up with Transformers and loved them as a kid, started playing with them when he was 3, you know, when the first live action movie came out 10 years ago. That's nice, I guess.
We have another interview with Travis Knight. He explains the ending of the Bumblebee movie and how the future of Bumblebee and the future of Charlie Watson. So take a look at that. And lastly, a lot of media around have been getting the Bumblebee movie on VHS. This is a legit VHS cassette that will play in a VCR, and Ant from TFU.info got one. We saw the guys at Sabertron got one as well. And Ant hooked one up to a TV, and it actually did play the movie. So it's not just a prop. It does work. It also came with some other crazy crap as well, promoting the movie. But
I love that it has a Be Kind, Please Rewind sticker on it.
So this is something that does not appear to be available for sale. This is just promo. Look out on eBay if you're really desperate for it, because there's going to be places that are going to throw it up on there that don't really want to keep it. So, yeah, I guess if you're looking for it.
I guess we're not a big enough fan Transformer site to get stuff from Hasbro and Paramount.
Well, I don't think anyone knows how to get a hold of us for it. So we don't have our address. Our official address isn't out there.
Yeah.
And who will they send it to? But yeah, it's very cool.
Dibs.
Very cool. There has been, you know, talk floating around that if they did put a pre-order out for it, that they could make enough for the pre-orders and then be done with it. But it's very cool.
It's funny because they did announce this on April 1st. So I thought it was an April Fool's joke that they were putting this out on VHS. But I guess the joke's on me then.
And in future movie news, yes. Well, Jeremy, why don't you take this one?
Here we go.
No, you take it. You take
Lorenzo right. De Bonaventura is a liar there.
We know this.
Paramount has come out and said they are not working on a sequel for Transformers The Last Knight. And and then De Bonaventura had to say, where is his quote?
They asked the question, are you developing a script that picks up where The Last Knight left off? No. It's very short. And Michael Bay's not coming back. Yay!
So there you go. So I don't know what the hell he was talking about before, but this guy is a fool. So,
well, my thoughts are, he says what he thinks that the audience of whatever he's being interviewed with wants to hear, or the other option is maybe Paramount and Hasbro told him, you have to now correct your mistakes and say this.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really seem like he's happy to give these particular answers.
Yeah. Well, either way, the hammer came down on him. If you're still out there thinking, well, why don't they just get rid of him? He's the money guy. He's one of the money guys.
I think he's the one that has the rights to make the
right
movies.
So he's not going anywhere.
I just wish they'd take a microphone away from
him. He'd be a silent partner, but yeah. Anyway, that's it for media news.
All right, let's move on to some convention news.
All right, only one thing this week. We have another guest announcement for TFCon Toronto 2019. This is July 12th through 14th, and they have announced that Jack Lawrence is going to be coming. He was just at TFCon LA, and if you see the video that Yoshi puts up, or I can't remember if it's up yet or not, but Yoshi interviewed Jack at TFCon LA, and he said he was having a great time. And I believe at the very end, he hinted or said that he was going to be at TFCon Toronto, and now it's official. So if you're a big fan of The Lost Light, or if you like that one issue of Star Trek versus Transformers that he did, check him out.
I've already reserved a spot at his table to get all my books signed. Everyone else is behind me.
All right. Well, I guess with that, we can move on to feedback. And we have a couple clips to play in feedback. The first one, the previously mentioned Ant from TFU.info, gave us this link to this music video. This is a video from AVN winning artist D Square.
What's AVN stand for?
If you aren't aware, AVM AVN is the Adult Video News, and they do an award show every year. And he won for his work on I'm not sure if it's a movie or what, but it's called Hamiltoe. So I'm guessing it's a musical.
Wow.
My interest is piqued.
So anyway, apparently he is also a Transformers fan, and he has done this Transformers theme track. And Ant, if you all know, he does video work, and he made a music video using clips from the animated movie, and it's called Heavy Metal Car Guys. So we're going to play a little bit here of the audio, but you really need to watch the video too. We'll have the YouTube link in our show notes.
In the year 2005, on the planet Cybertron, war broke out between Autobots and Decepticons. It got messy, they were running low on Energon. Some Autobots got shot dead, jumped by Megatron. Even Perceptor couldn't see him coming through as they breached the city's defenses and the battle ensued. Poor Braum was a strong man who rode around the land, even though he roughly stands about 5'2". Got blasted in an instant with Ironhide and Ratchet, and Prowl stopped burn once his engine blew a gasket. Even Optimus Prime had got his metal ass kicked in the first 10 minutes of this animated classic. The Transformers, there, more than meets the eye, not your average machines off the assembly line of Transformers, robots disguised as 20-foot-tall heavy metal car guys. Now Prime past the Matrix leadership.
That's a pretty good clip. I liked it. Check out the whole thing on YouTube. It's fantastic. So thanks, Ant, for passing that along. What do you guys think of it?
Yeah, I watched the whole video. It was really nice. I mean, and also, I guess Ant did all the video editing, I'm guessing. So he did a really good job.
That's what I said.
Well, I'm not guessing because I know because Jeremy told me. all the video editing, the clips were matched very nicely to the lyrics. So great job to D Squared and great job to Ant for this video.
I liked it too. He played the song before on his own podcast, and I think that was a couple episodes ago, and I remember enjoying it then, and I didn't know until you just told me that he did the video, so I'm going to I'm going to make time to watch that and take a look. Yeah. And I'm going to check out the Hamilton as well. That it's award winning, so I have
you report.
I will.
Back.
I'll let you know. I'll recommend. I'll send it to you.
All right. Well, let's move on. We have some voicemail to play. We have another voicemail here from Dr. Pants. So let's see what he has to say.
Hello, Transmissions Podcast. It's Dr. Pants with a little bit of feedback for you. Number one, I wanted to say that all of us at Nerdstradamus were super thrilled that you guys were nice enough to play part of our song on one of the last podcasts. Thank you so much for that. We were really excited. We had a blast making that, and I thought you guys might enjoy it. So thank you for that. But I actually have a question for you. With us being in a couple of issues into the new IDW continuity, and sadly, Brainstorm being killed, which makes me really, really sad. He was one of my favorite characters in the previous continuity and one of my favorite Transformer designs overall. It just got me to thinking that, you know, this is a brand new continuity. Things are going to change. We're not going to have all the same characters around anymore. It's, you know, it's kind of a realization sitting in. But it just makes me wonder, what kind of things do you guys want to see happen in this new continuity? And what kind of things from the previous do you not want to see them fall into again? Of course, things I don't want to see him fall into is I don't want to see what we got with Optimus Prime towards the end of that series, where he was kind of stuck, not knowing what to do in Optimus Prime. I know Yoshi will agree with me on that. I want old school Optimus, who's a leader, who's rallying the troops, who's just a good person overall. And I want to see that happen. But who knows if we will. Aside from things I want to see, I just want to see characters who we haven't seen in the continuity yet pop up. But look forward to your answers, guys. Thanks again for everything, and I will catch you around.
All right. Well, thanks, Dr. Pants, for the feedback, and thanks for giving me this for the soundboard.
I love robots!
So that was from that Nostradamus clip you sent us. I personally would like to see, like you said, I don't like that kind of Optimus that we had at the end. I like the Optimus that's decisive and is a strong leader. I would like to see them take another shot at the shared Hasbro universe, but I want it to happen more organically. You know, it was very shoved in when we got it. They tried to like fit all the G.I. Joe stuff that had already happened in with the Transformers stuff. And I think starting so far in the past, they have the room to plan, you know, maybe, you know, a year down the line, just have them encounter the Space Knights or something. And when they eventually get to Earth, you know, have G.I. Joe stories, you know, intersect and just have it all happen organically. You know, you have a clean slate. You can tell really, really cool stories with all these characters. Just, it doesn't need to be forced now. So, Daryl, what do you think?
Well, it's still really early, so there's a lot that can be done still. But as far as what I'd like to see, less talking, more fighting. I can understand having romantic relationships, but the end of the last, like the end of Lost Light, there were way too many romantic relationships going on in that book. So put a cap on it at like maybe two at most. And, you know, they can be happening in the background. Like they can be assumed, but you don't have to put them, you know, put dialogue to them all, you know,
it doesn't need to be like this. This isn't a romance comic. Yeah.
So,
I mean, or make a romance comic.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, just right? Label it.
So it got too much for me at the end there, and it got bothersome. So, you know, yeah. So cap the romantic relationships and punch someone in the face every now and then, you know.
Yeah.
And transform.
Right. I've from what we've seen and heard from various, like, creators and stuff that we've heard, like, kind of back channel from discussion shows she had at TFCon, it should pick up. It's just they're laying a a foundation. So hopefully it does pay off like they say it will. Charles, what do you think?
I generally agree with what you guys have said. I mean, yes, I like the lore. I like the world building, but I like action too. So let's have, it's always nice to have a healthy balance between the action and the world building and the lore and the character focus. I would like to see, you know, continue to focus on the Transformers as characters and their character motivations the same way we did in the previous continuity. I would also like to see a more dynamic Optimus Prime. I'd like to see Optimus Prime's character get the same treatment that Megatron got in the last continuity, where we had this really nice redemptive arc for Megatron that really showed his inner character really well. If we could get something like that for Optimus Prime, I mean, I think they did do a little bit of that when, like, but I think Optimus Prime was most interesting when he was Orion Pax, and then as Optimus Prime, he was not very interesting at all. So I'm hoping that he can still be an interesting character as Optimus Prime. I think just having a nice balance and still giving us the world building, but giving us plenty of action and always giving us interesting characters. I think that's what I'd like to see. I don't think I never really thought the romantic relationships were too much. I'm fine if they're there or not there. I think for Transformers is unique that you don't really need to have them, and like the Transformer characters are not really driven by romance, so you don't need to have it there. But I mean, there's clearly some fans enjoy that and want that there. So I think it's, you know, you can still have it there. So, you know,
it does go back to the G1 cartoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
You just have that.
Mm-hmm. So, I guess that's it.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks again, Dr. Pants, for the voicemail. And if you would like to leave us feedback, you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. And that will give you multiple ways, including a widget to leave us the voicemail, just like Dr. Pants did. And it even works on your phone. So if you don't have a microphone or something on your computer, browse to it on your phone, and you can just leave it right there with your phone microphone. Also, we have a new way of leaving feedback in Discord. If you want to join us there and chat, we have a channel that we have set up specifically for feedback for the upcoming episodes. So just leave something in there, and we will try to use it in the feedback as well. So I think that is it.
All right. Well, that's it for feedback, and that's the end of the show. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.